Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
People say, "I got you," all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over 1 million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. WeShareHealth. We got you.
Outdated automation doesn't have to slow you down. Graybar helps you identify risks, modernize strategically, and minimize disruption every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
And a good Saturday morning to you. I am being joined by none other than Laura Iris Hansen from the U of M. Good morning, Laura.
Oh, good morning, Denny.
I think you were deserving of a big intro like that, if you want to call that a big intro. It's good to have you back, Laura. I know you're kind of on the road today, aren't you?
Yeah. I've been touring Northeast Minnesota giving talks this week, and I'm currently in Grand Marais, and the view outside of the little inn I'm staying in, I get to just see the lake. So it was just absolutely a beautiful way to wake up.
I love Grand Marais. What's the weather like there?
It's actually, well, I think it's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. You know, upper 30s and then just like in the 50s. And yesterday was just wonderful sunshine. It was a great drive up, especially seeing all the melt coming by, because I drove from Cloquet up to Grand Marais yesterday, and just seeing the melt and the water coming down and going into the Lake Superior, just absolutely a beautiful drive.
Love that place. Well, it's good to have you back on the radio this morning, Laura, and we welcome, in fact, I'm looking at the text messages, and we already have a ton of them. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, you know how the whole deal works. 651-461-9226. You can make it a phone call, or you can send a text like a lot of folks are doing. I'm looking. This came in earlier, Laura. Let's take care of this business in order to keep folks just being fair. Good morning. I'm growing cabbage and broccoli this year. In the past, I used to get these white moths that would come in there and lay their eggs on the plant. Then I would have these green inchworms. Is there a natural solution to like a dust or another type of product to keep those moths and other than a roll cover? Anything to solve that issue, Laura?
Yeah, well, I'm glad they brought up row covers. That's one way to physically exclude those. There's a couple of different species, but we just call them all generally cabbage moths. a very common it's a pesticide that people use. It's called BT. It can be an organic pesticide, naturally derived actually from the soil. And that is something that you can spray and that on top of the leaves, and then that will help to decrease the amount of munching that you're going to be seeing from the caterpillars that will be on the leaves. You can also, if you don't have too many plants, I just go around with a little bucket of soapy water, just kind of like with Japanese beetles, and I just drop them in there. You can also try to collect the caterpillars and throw them on like a hardscape, like a big long sidewalk or a driveway, and sometimes the birds will come and have a tasty snack.
Hmm. All right. A natural choice. Good morning. Love the show. Thank you for that. This texter has a stand of black locust trees. They're looking to clear and replace with Minnesota native trees and shrubs. Can I cut them now and paint with stump killer? Jill from Foley asked that question.
Yeah, you can do that now. Typically, when we are doing things like that, we do it in late fall and into the winter. But you can definitely cut them down. Depends on how large the trees are as well. I'm going to assume they're fairly large just based on the description there. But yeah, if you stump them, you can treat them. Just make sure if you're using any pesticides, I should have said this for the last answer too, the label is a law. So make sure you're reading that label and following the directions for the use for it.
Yep, we always like to say that. Read the label. This listener, Laura, is looking for suggestions on how to deal with moss and plants growing between pavers in their walkway and patio area. They've had a landscaper clean and sweep a product around the pavers, but the problem returns. Any suggestions?
Yeah, so the products, over time, you know, we get rain or water events, and that can kind of wash it away. Also, some of those products will just naturally break down over time, which is why they need to be reapplied. Truly, that is the best method to use. I guess it depends on how your pavers are set, too. There are different ways. Some of them are impermeable, and some of them, there's actually permeable. I can't think of the word all of a sudden. Grout, the stuff between the pavers. And so that will actually change the type of product you want to use. I do not recommend doing anything with salt or vinegars because that can increase just salt buildup in the soil around it. And then we can have salt movement into areas and waterways that we don't want to have. So do avoid using just plain table salt or vinegar.
Very good. This listener, Laura, wants to know, can I plant hydrangeas, lilacs, and azaleas now?
Yeah, so in parts of the state, more the southern half of the state, the soil's probably getting about to be workable. We have had some rain, though, so we don't want to be digging when the soil's really wet because we can actually compact the soil a little bit. So wait until the soil's a little dry before you dig those holes. But yeah, once you plant them in, they might not bloom this year because right now is kind of the time where those plants may be blooming. But if you bought them and they're already in bloom, don't worry about it. Just make sure you're watering them consistently over the next at least 3 years to get them established. Oh, and give them a good mulch, three inches of a wood chip mulch around the base.
I was mentioning to you before we went on the air, you're asking if we're getting any rain here in the Twin Cities. Indeed, we are. So things are greening up even more. So it all helps. Looking at another text that just came in, so many ash trees near us, texter says, we've been treating ours for emerald ash borer for years. Five ash trees on our block are still up, standing dead. Are the borers still in them and a threat to our trees?
They can be. We actually have a really good web page on emerald ash borer and what the actual insects are doing and how they live in certain materials and how they move. So I would recommend checking out our website at extension.umn.edu. There's also really great information on emerald ash borer from some of our state agencies as well. But yes, they can be. Some of those trees might be being left up as snags or something like that, or it just might be very, very costly for them to be removed. So if you are talking to your neighbors, just I'd recommend just having grace, right, while you're talking to them because you might not know what else is going on.
So I know we're going to break here in a moment or two, but you're on the road and speaking. Now you have certain speaking engagements. What do we hear from Laura on the road these days?
Yeah, so it's really fun. It's the spring of compost. People really want me to be talking about compost. I gave a talk at Lake Superior College on Earth Day about composting in small spaces. I talked to St. Louis County workers about composting. I was up in Ely doing a Plan Your Pantry Garden workshop on Wednesday. And today I'm talking about climate resilient gardening and growing flexibility and composting. So I'm giving two talks today.
All right. And what's your next itinerary for folks? And who can visit these talks of yours?
Yeah, so I'm so fortunate that I have amazing colleagues throughout the state who are there to help people in their counties. There are local educators with an emphasis in horticulture. And so anytime I'm bebopping around for something, I'm trying to ask, like, hey, are there any other classes you want? So those are almost always on our extension website. You can actually click the learn button and you'll see all these amazing courses that not just I'm teaching, but all my other colleagues as well. So if you want to know more about vegetables or pruning your fruit trees or soils or insects, there are always classes going on.
And again, that's such a great resource. That's why we talk about it all the time, extension.umn.edu. Hang on, Laura, please. We'll take a quick break. Be back on the other side with more Lawn and Garden Talk. Call us or text us, 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830 WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long back with Laura Irish Hansen from the U of M answering those lawn and garden questions. And as usual, Laura, there are many. Let's get back to them, see how many folks we can help out this morning. This listener says, squirrels have knocked off many small branches from our maple tree. I noticed several of these branches had buds on them. Is this because it's so dry? I do water the tree.
So the squirrels, they're going for things that are easy, right? And so they will go to the smaller ends of the branches. They'll chew on them. So it's nothing you're doing. But yeah, you can continue to water the tree, particularly during dry periods. Now, we don't want to be overwatering our established trees, so ones that have been in the ground for more than 3 to 5 years. So if we are getting, you know, about an inch of water or rain a week, you can definitely hold off on watering.
Okay. This listener sent this text who said, I have had health problems the last few years. My flower gardens are infested with mostly purple coneflower and rebecca. I have new knees now, but I can't really dig yet. Is it a horrible thing if I round up everything? Of course, then I have to figure out what else I'm going to put in, but it would be a start. What do you think of kind of getting rid of that and starting over?
Yeah, so whatever way works for you, you can also try to like weed whip or mow some of them down shorter and putting other larger plants in, depending on what your goal is and what types of plants you're trying to put in there. Rudbeckia, for those who don't know, can really take over. It's a self-seeder, prolifically self-seeds. And Echinacea, those coneflowers, also can do that, but they usually can be outcompeted with other plants. So yeah, you can use a broadleaf herbicide on those plants, or you know, you can try mowing and planting larger things. And by mowing, yeah, I mean you are weed whipping. You bring them pretty close to the soil level, as low as it can go.
And good luck with those new knees. That's great.
Yeah.
This listener has to relocate rhubarb. Can we still harvest it this year if we get enough of the root ball when replanting?
Absolutely. Rhubarb is a super resilient perennial plant. It is a heavy feeder, and by that I mean it benefits from fertilizer. So when you're harvesting it, it can actually help it decrease transplant shock because you'll be removing those petioles, right? The what we call stalks that we eat, and those big leaves. And so if there's less giant leaves when we go to transplant it, the plant won't be losing too much moisture while it's reestablishing roots. So definitely if you do replant it, make sure you bury it to the same level that it was at in your other garden area, and then make sure you're watering it really well, and then maybe fertilize it a little more than you have in the past. And if you've never fertilized it, just, you know, maybe hit it a couple times this summer.
Very good. Let's grab a couple of phone calls, Laura. First up, Catherine calling in from Blaine. Hi, Catherine. What is your question?
Good morning. Yes, I have an amaryllis that I got for Christmas, not this year, but last year. And it's growing all the, you know, just leaves. There are no flowers on it. Can I cut those leaves down and then will it flower?
Yeah, great question. We have an amazing webpage on amaryllis that I really highly recommend you check out if you haven't already. And so those leaves are actually really important. I wouldn't cut them off if they're big and happy and green because they are collecting light, making sugars that are getting pushed down into the bulb to help form that next flower. So what you actually can do is slowly start decreasing the water you're giving it to let those leaves naturally die. So they'll naturally start turning kind of yellow to brown. Let that bulb go dormant. And then you can actually force it again later. So we have detailed instructions on our extension site. That's extension.umn.edu. So if you just type in the little search bar amaryllis, you'll see all the information to get it to force a flower again.
Okay. Another phone call, and we'll get back to text messages. Julie is calling in from Minneapolis this morning. Thank you, Julie. What is your question?
Yes, my son lives in Texas, but he has these plants inside and also is complaining about these tiny little white, they're not flies, but they're insects, and he doesn't know what to do, and I don't know what to tell him. Can you help?
Yeah, so, well, if they're little tiny white flying insects indoors, my first reaction is they're probably actually something called white flies. And we also have a little, we have information on how to control white flies indoors on our webpage. And so white flies can kind of be a big nuisance, particularly in greenhouses is where we see a lot more of them being problematic, but they can come in into our homes as well. And so there are some different insecticides that you can try to use. But yeah, they unfortunately, they are kind of a tricky one if it is white flies.
Okay. When do you expect, the texter says, the Arboretum tulips to be in full bloom?
So, full disclosure, I have not been at the Arboretum in almost 2 weeks because I've been traveling
on the road
so much. Yes. But I did, I read the email. They always have the what's in bloom. So if you've never been on the homepage, it's what's in bloom. And one of the amazing people in the curation team, she writes about what's going on. And yeah, so tulips, it looks like they're just starting, some of them doing really well. And they, at the Arboretum, they have all different stages of tulips. And so I would head out there. Today might be a little busy. I'd recommend going just because they're celebrating Arbor Day. So there's lots of fun activities going on at the Arboretum right now. Yeah.
Very good. I just received my new membership cards in the mail 2 days ago. So ready to get back there. Question is, before the weather, let's do this. Why can't I grow lavender plants outdoors? Texter wants to know. Last year they were growing good, then died. They were in a sunny location with well-drained soil. Please help. I like lavender.
Yeah, so it really depends on where you live and what's going on over the winter and if you protected them. So lavender, there are some that are that have been bred or selected that are cold hardy to zones 5. People are kind of bending that into 4B, but you really, really have to insulate the plants. So right at the base, you want to be putting straw around them over the winter and a pretty sizable thing of straw. They are really susceptible to winter injury. The other issue is if we have a dry few weeks going into winter, the soil gets too cold too fast. It can actually kill the roots of the lavenders or stress them out so that they're not able to make it through winter because they get too dry. The plants will get too dry or too cold too fast. So yeah, lavender can be a tricky one. There are some that will self-seed. So you'll get them to, they'll drop their seeds at the end of the growing season and then they germinate in the spring. And some of them actually will flower the same year. So definitely check out some of those that are self-seeding.
All right. Hang on, Laura, please. We're going to take a break and see what that forecast calls for, and then we'll be back with more of our Smart Garden Show. You have a lawn or garden question for Laura, call us or text us, 651-461-9226. The weather is straight ahead here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show this Saturday morning. Denny Long back with Laura Irish Hansen from the U of M. And Laura, as I mentioned, we have a lot of text messages, a lot of questions to get answered, see how many folks we can help out this morning. You had kind of a follow-up to an earlier question, right?
Yeah. So just a little more info on the amaryllis. So if you are going to force them to go dormant by decreasing watering, letting those leaves naturally die, you're going to let the plant just be in that dormant, unwatered state for about 8 to 12 weeks, and you want to put them somewhere dry and cool. If you can put it in a basement or somewhere where it's closer to 50 to 60 degrees, that's ideal. And the plants will actually sort of naturally start growing some more leaves. So if they do that before the 8 to 12 weeks, that's okay. Just pot that amaryllis ball back up, put it in a sunny window, and start watering and fertilizing, and it can help help that amaryllis bloom.
Very good. Listener wants to know, Laura, isn't there a free app that allows you to identify a plant from a cell phone photo?
there are actually a lot. There are many, many plant ID apps. And so it's kind of up to you choosing which ones you want. Some people become very dedicated to which particular app they're using. And it really depends on application as well. Some of the apps are better for using for like native if you're out doing a nature walk. Some apps are going to be a little better suited to garden plants. So ones that we have brought in or we grow from other areas. My biggest thing for you all is that sometimes they will incorrectly identify a plant. And so you want to be really critical when you're looking at those photos. And I would suggest using apps that have really good descriptions of what you should be seeing for the leaf shape, the form of the plant. And then whatever answer it gives you for, hey, that's the plant, I recommend just doing a quick internet search and looking at reputable websites to see, okay, does that actually match the plant I'm seeing? Because proper plant ID is really important, particularly when we're looking for care.
Yeah, good advice. Texter says this, "Hi, Denny and Laura. I bought some hydrangeas a few days ago, and my wife wants to plant them ASAP. When can this be done?"
Just like the caller or the texter earlier, as soon as the soil can be worked, you can start planting those perennials out into your garden. So just don't want to do it when it's too muddy or too wet, and just make sure that you're burying them to the same depth that they were in that container for the most part, and then give them a nice deep watering. Keep them pretty moist, and then use that 3 inches of organic mulch around them.
I bet from time to time you get asked, Laura, what can I plant over here, over there? A texture is no different. What is a good plant to go around the mailbox out at the street? It gets full sun and maybe some dog visits from time to time.
Oh, the last part of that is pretty challenging. So that can actually, just like you might see in some lawns, right, excess, there'll be excess buildups in the soil that can make it a little challenging for a lot of plants to grow. You know, off the top of my head right now, I can't think of anything that will get repeated pet visits. I will look that up. Get back to
all
you
right.
If there's anything good for a short plant around a mailbox.
little research. Can I prune a rose bush at this time of the year? It's starting to go green.
You can prune some of the roses now. I would just be... how do I phrase this? Definitely want to prune off some of the material that maybe didn't make it through winter. So where you have that brown tips, perhaps, and then you can see there's green buds. Definitely prune any of that out. That's a good thing to be doing right now.
All right. For just joining us, Laura Irish Hansen from the U of M, answering those lawn and garden questions for you today. Laura, let's go back to the phones. Jean checking in from South St. Paul this morning. Hi, Jean. Good morning. What is your question?
Yeah, I have clematis that goes up and over a trellis that didn't get trimmed down in the fall. So now I have all this dead, looks dead and kind of brisk, up and lots of it on the top and goes down the other side. Should I still be pulling some of that off, even though I do see a little green sticking out in one little spot or another little spot? Or do I just leave it alone?
Yeah, that's a great question. So just like with the roses, you can definitely look and see where maybe there isn't green coming out, and you can prune off those areas that maybe didn't make it over the winter. You can prune off down to where you see green coming up. So if you're thinking about how the plant grows from the ground up, if you see a green bud, you can just cut right above that bud on that stem, and that'll help promote that new growth. So it really just depends on how aggressive you want to be with your pruning.
Very good. A bunch of text. What can I do, Texter says, to enhance growth in a large open spot in my black raspberry patch? I do use fertilizer. And can I use preen to keep down the weeds?
Oh, so I wonder if they mean if the center of the black raspberry patch isn't doing very well. If that's the case, just want to open up that canopy a little bit more. Can help clean up any of those old canes that might be there in that raspberry patch. You can fertilize if it needs to be fertilized. And then you could use preen in that area just to stop any like broadleaf weeds or anything like that from the base. And it shouldn't harm your raspberries, but it depends. I would just be a little cautious if you were throwing that down.
All right. Very good. We are, Texter says, planting 3 clematis today. Should we mulch the plants with wood chips?
Yes, you just don't want to bury. Okay, so for any of the plants, every time I'm on radio, I forget people can't see my hands and what I'm doing. So when you plant those plants, even the clematis, those what can be woody vines, you don't want mulch touching the stems or the base of where those plants are coming out. So you actually want to pull mulch away, and that goes for the same for woody shrubs and woody trees. Even our herbaceous perennial plants that are coming up from the ground, we want to make sure that those crowns aren't covered. So yes, you can mulch around the base. That can also help to keep the roots cool. Clematis, notoriously, they do need to have a kind of shady, cool root zone in order to grow really well.
I see we finally get a question about lawns. Is there still a window of time to plant grass seed?
Yes, you can plant grass seed, but just know that if you have, say, crabgrass seed that it might have, you know, gone to seed from last year, they're also going to have been germinating and living a happy life. So if you put turf seed down now, just make sure that you're watering it really well, but you could also be watering in some weeds. That's not to discourage you from overseeding right now for your lawn, if that's what you're choosing to do. We do have really, really great web pages. I mean, so many on, like, we have a renovating a lawn for quality and sustainability page. And so it talks all about when you can do this and the best steps. So I'd really recommend going on our web page.
Yeah, extension.umn.edu. A lot of great information about lawn care for sure. This listener is digging out a patch of lily of the valley, turning out to be a big job. We put Roundup on them. How long do we have to wait to plant something else, and will Roundup kill the rhizomes?
Yeah, lily of the valley, those little rhizomes, they're called pips, which is really cute. The name, sorry. So lily of the valley is a pretty, is really good at living. It's a really, really good at living. And so the Roundup may help decrease it, but if you have any pips that were underground, right, that hadn't thrown up a leaf or something, those likely are going to continue to grow. So you're going to want to dig those out as they come up. So if you are spraying Roundup, it's a contact herbicide, so it'll kill those plant materials. You can remove those lily of the valley tops from your garden, and then you should be okay to go ahead and plant after they crisp up and go away.
Those are called pips?
Yeah, P-I-P-S. That's the
like
type
Gladys
of
Knight and the Pips. Okay. Interesting. All right. What fertilizer, Texter wants to know, is right for orchid plants?
Yeah, so there are a lot of different types of orchids, and some, if you go to the garden center next, and you'll see there's going to be a whole wall of different fertilizers and options. So what I would highly recommend doing, anytime you're looking at the bags that have, like, this is specific fertilizer for whatever plant it may be, say orchids, flip it over, usually on the backside, or it could be on the front. There has to be a label telling you exactly what's in the bag. So look at the ratios of fertilizer that are in there. And then I just would recommend looking around, you know, and seeing, hey, is there maybe a comparable ratioed fertilizer that maybe is a little cheaper, but doesn't explicitly say whatever plant you're looking at. The exception for that are acid-loving plants like azaleas, like blueberries, that there's usually in those fertilizer bags or something that actually helps to acidify the soil to help those plants thrive.
All right. Laura, hang on, please. We'll take a quick break. Be right back on the other side with more of our Smart Garden Show here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Please stay with us. And welcome back to the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. Danny Long here, if you're just joining us. Laura Irish Hansen from the U of M is answering all those lawn and garden questions, and we have many more, Laura. Here's one. I planted 3 weigelas last spring. One is really starting to bud, but the other 2 appear to be struggling with little or to no buds. Anything I should do to spark growth in the struggling ones?
Yeah, so they could. I would check out and see how deep that those plants were buried. Sometimes if they get buried too deeply, that can really stress them out. Sometimes they're cultivar specific. If they are different types of Weigela, that might be one of the explanations as well. It depends on how close they are to each other. Maybe those are sitting in a lower spot. They're getting a little too wet. You know, there are a lot of things that could be impacting those Weigela from really thriving. So this year, I would just really make sure that you're watering them, particularly because you planted them last year. We want to make sure that those root systems move out from that original hole that you planted into last year. So watering pretty well and make sure that you're mulching around those plants.
All right. This listener has an area of their yard they would like to let grow wild, about a quarter acre. How can I plant seeds for pollinator flowers without tilling the whole area?
Yeah, so if you have a quarter acre, there's likely lots of weedy plants in there or weed seeds. And so anytime we till, we can actually pull weed seeds up from lower down in the soil up to the surface to germinate. So I definitely understand the hesitancy to till. You can spray to make sure that the plant material that's there, particularly if it's unwanted, is more quickly removed so you can establish a new seeding. You can't really solarize in that big of a space. It's pretty impractical. That's a real tricky one. Even if you mow really low quite often to try to kill the crowns of the plants, you're still going to have weed seeds popping up likely in that space. So
that's a tough one.
It is tough.
This listener sent a text and says this: I had some perennials, phlox, salvia, Weigela, coneflower, planted in my rock landscaping last fall. My garden store said that it's a certain product, Skid, I think it's called, I can spray on them to deter rabbits. Do you think this product would work, and what would you suggest besides fencing them? You and your colleagues always suggest fencing is still the best idea, though, don't you?
Yes, fencing is the best defense against rabbits, particularly if your chicken wire does not work from baby rabbits, particularly now in the spring. We're going to start seeing those. They can fit through those little holes in chicken wire, so hardware cloth is definitely going to help prevent or lessen the amount of critters around your garden beds. Saying that, it's really hard to dig down into rock mulched areas because we do generally recommend that you bury that hardware cloth or chicken wire two inches into the ground. Those deterrents for those critters, they do wash away. So every time the plants get watered or there's rain, they do need to be reapplied. So that's just something to think about if you are trying to use one of those animal deterrent sprays.
Oh, yeah. Good point. What is the recommended amount of manure to add to a new area to which we plan to move a rhubarb plant?
Yeah, so I would definitely get your soil tested because a lot of the soil tests that get sent in that we know about are really, really high in phosphorus, the soils for our yards and gardens. And so manure can quite frequently is really high in phosphorus. And so it'll add excess phosphorus that's not needed. So just want to put that out there. If you haven't had your soil tested, get your soil tested. If you're trying to dig in and make like a heavier clay soil a little looser and lighter for that rhubarb, you can mix in some type of compost with the native soil, but really the best thing is to put those rhubarbs, match the soil that they were in as best as you can, just in the little area. But we don't want to put like potting mix inside of a hole that is in a really heavy clay, because pretty much you're just going to be planting that rhubarb into, in essence, a pot in the ground that you created from having nice loamy mix surrounded by clay soil. So
very good.
Mix it in as best as you can.
Is it too soon to plant canna bulbs?
If you're in the north, yes. I would definitely avoid it. It depends on where you're at. Some parts in the south, you could try to plant the canna bulbs, but I really want everyone to look at the last frost date information that the Minnesota DNR has. It's really, MDA has, excuse me, really important to know, because even you might be in a pocket where, you know, nights, there's a 50% chance that nights are still going to get under 32 degrees. So if you do plant now, just be aware that you might have to be bringing those plants into a garage or a shed or cover them to make sure that they don't get too cold.
Suddenly we have a couple of lawn questions, which we didn't have before. This one says this: I planted grass seed 3 weeks ago. It has not germinated. I assume the soil is too cold. Is there a chance the grass seed will still germinate, do you think?
It could, yeah. It depends on if you overseed it or if it's a new bare area. Maybe those seeds got too dry, perhaps, if it was a bare area right after germination. That can delay them. But I really wish John was on right now. I'm sure he would have, like, the bullet answer right there.
Yeah, John, of course, our turf expert from the U of M. We'll get John back on here in a future show for sure. There's some other, in fact, yeah, I'm looking at two crabgrass questions. Is it getting beyond the time to treat for crabgrass? And what is the best time to apply crabgrass preventative?
Yeah, so the turf lab at the university has this really great tool about, is it too late to plant crabgrass or not based on where you're at in the state and soil temperatures? Because crabgrass is really coming in pretty strong in parts of the state right now. And it's the pre-emergent herbicides work best before the soil temperatures have reached about 55 degrees Fahrenheit. So depending on how warm your soils are, it might be too late to apply that pre-emergent. But they have a really interactive tool. It's called the Turfgrass Decision Support Dashboard. Which sounds like a lot of words, but if you just go on our website, there's a whole page on crabgrass and the link is there. So I'd really recommend checking that out because they update it quite frequently.
Very good. Laura, we have about 60 seconds to go. Let's do this. Texter says, I have some Easter tulips that have died back. They're in a pot. How can I use them again? And is there any way I can still use them outside this year?
Yeah, so if the leaves are still green, keep watering them, fertilize, because those leaves need to collect energy to put back in the bulb in order for that bulb to potentially rebloom. Now, forced bulbs, they don't always come back just because of the stressfulness of the process for forcing them and growing them in containers. You can try to plant them into the ground this fall if you're growing them into the pot. The leaves keep photosynthesizing, and then they die back around June, July. Leave the bulbs and then dry, and then store them until fall, and then you can plant them in the ground and just see if they come up. But just be prepared that they might not.
All right. Very good. Well, Laura, as I said, we're just about out of time. Another reminder, get to the Arboretum for sure. Check in online, and you get all sorts of information. And if you've never been there, trust me, you go there, you'll be going there quite often. And secondly, if you have not checked out the university website, the Extension website, do so, extension.umn.edu. And Laura, you have a safe trip, and good luck with your speaking tour. And I'll see you probably on Friday, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Thanks so much, Denny. Enjoy spring, everyone. Yeah, it's beautiful.
All right. Thank you so much, Laura. Again, talk soon. Laura Ivers-Hansen from the University of Minnesota.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
People say, I got you, all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over 1 million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. WeShare Health. We got you.
Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget.
Yep, Graybar does that.
Step up to the plate with MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
It's gone!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhance game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game. Plus, live minor league action and even game day 3D, the ultimate second screen experience. It's all here on MLB Plus for just $5.99 per month.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's refreshing!